This program is brought to you by ICERM Radio, a project of the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation, New York.
Visit www.icermmediation.org to make a donation or join our membership.
We want to welcome our listeners from the United States and around the world to the ICERM Radio program. Let's talk about it. We just want to welcome all of you, those who have called in to listen to this very conversation today, and those who are on our website are listening to our radio program. I want to welcome you to a very inspiring program today. Our radio program is a global peace network dedicated to promoting inter-ethnic and inter-religious cooperation in countries around the world. As always, this program is sponsored by the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation, a New York-based nonprofit organization holding special consultative status with the United Nations Economic and Social Council. For those who know us, our mission is to foster a culture of peace among, between, and within ethnic and religious groups in countries around the world. Today, I bring you peace and blessings and welcome you to today's radio program on peace and conflict resolution, the African perspective. I am your host, Basil Ogoji.
And I'm your co-host, Christina Pastrana. Peace and blessings to you, our listeners and guests. Thank you for joining us today on the ICERM Radio Talk Show, Let's Talk About It, for an inspiring interview with Dr. Ernest Wazi, Director of the Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution and Professor of Criminal Justice at the California State University in Sacramento. In this episode, our guest, Professor Ernest Wazi, will talk about his peace and conflict resolution projects and activities in Africa and within the African diaspora in the United States. As the Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution celebrates its 20th anniversary at the Africa and Diaspora Conference, Professor Wazi will discuss the lessons, best practices, and opportunities for peace, security, and sustainable development in Africa. It's an honor to have Dr. Wazi in our studio today for what is going to be an illuminating and inspiring discussion on peace and conflict resolution, the African perspective. Dr. Ernest Wazi, welcome to the ICERM Radio program. Let's talk about it.
It's a pleasure to be on again with you, Christina and Basil. You did a great pleasure. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. And to your listeners, we thank you for tuning in. We want you to relax and make yourself comfortable. This is going to be a public dialogue, so feel free to call into our show to add your voice to the conversation and make your views known to the world. The number to dial is 323-642-1236. And if you're calling from outside the United States, don't forget you must dial a 1 before dialing 323-642-1236.
This program is brought to you by ICERM Radio, a project of the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation, New York.
Visit www.icermmediation.org to make a donation or join our membership.
Welcome back, our listeners and our guests, our esteemed guest for today's radio program, Professor Ernest Wazi. Professor Ernest Wazi has been doing a great work in California, at the California State University in Sacramento. But again, not only in Sacramento, he's been traveling all over the world, especially in many countries in Africa, promoting peace and conflict resolution. Today he's here to talk with us, talk to us about our peace and conflict resolution and the African perspective. Professor Wazi, it's really a great, great honor having you on the ICERM radio program. Let's talk about it. And I want to thank Christina for introducing you. You've been one of those who have inspired the work we do at the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation. And you've been one of the great pillars when it comes to conflict resolution in Africa, especially in West Africa. But many people do not really know about you, especially I know some people listening to this very conversation do not really know your background. So we want to ask you, Professor Wazir, if you could take a moment to share with us and our listeners about you, about your work at the Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. There is always room for learning on all fronts, and thanks for the commendation. And inspiring work that you have been doing, because we all do our peace work, whether in or in Africa, at home or abroad or all over the world, but really it is an indication of the importance of global peace, and everybody, all hands need to be on deck to do that. And that's really the focus of the Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution at California State University in Sacramento for the past 20 years. I've been at this university since 1991 for almost 25 years now, over 25 years, I would say. And we started really as a result of getting a coalition of Africanist faculty members at the university when I joined that faculty, and we started holding conclaves every year. And we've had quite a good number of wonderful speakers. In fact, our very inaugural keynote speaker was former UN chairman of the UN Anti-Apartheid Committee, Professor Ibrahim Gambari, who was the Nigerian ambassador to the United Nations at the time. We've had former president of Zambia, Kenneth Kaunda, in 1995, and it was from that conference, about the fifth year of our gathering, that the idea of creating a Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution was formed or conceptualized. And we have, since that time, through the Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution, continued the annual conference, which next week, April 20th through the 23rd, will be the 25th annual Africa Peace Conference, with over 60 presentations by scholars, policymakers, leaders, dignitaries from Africa, Europe, Asia, Australia, really about 16 different countries from six continents. Will be gathering to share with us, to debate, to exchange, to engage in different areas of peace work, to take stock of, since Africa and the New World Order, what have we accomplished, what are the lessons, what are some of the best practices, and acknowledge the fact that there is still a whole lot more to be done, and in terms of the opportunities. So that's really what we do. Either through education like the conference or research or training or developing materials that aid in training that have the African centered perspective or framework in it. In a nutshell, I hope that kind of gives you a sense of our work.
Yes, that's wonderful. Thank you, Professor Wazi. You mentioned that the idea for the center came out of the fifth year of the conference. I imagine a lot of great ideas have come out of getting together and bringing this amazing group of people together. What are some of the things that have come out of the conference, and how has that impacted the goals of the center and the programs that you mentioned? In education and research, for example?
Yes, I think one of the remarkable things that I don't want to suggest that it only came from us, but at least we contributed to this mm-hmm. discussion, is the recognition of the importance of peace as part of development. It's not just democracy, it's not just about political reforms and so on and so forth, but a conscious effort to position peace at the center or forefront of any discussions about economic, social, political, legal reform. We cannot be taken for granted. It cannot be taken as something that automatically happens just because you have democracy or just because you have elections and so on and so forth. And so kind of builds on from the UN of also manifesto, really that before we can talk about development, that peace has to be an essential aspect of that. So this discourse looking at peace and development as really interrelated. I think it has been one of the things that has generated a lot of discourse and attention through our conferences. The second area is in terms of our education, whether we're looking at it at the university level or at the primary level, secondary school, elementary level of levels of education, to be more conscious as we definitely teach about and learn about reading and writing and so on and so forth, we need to begin to think of a different framework to inculcate peace in what we do in a more conscious, deliberate and thoughtful manner. And that's the extent we can do that at the earlier level, the better for us, down the line, so to say, to catch them young. And so in many parts of Africa now, just like you have in many parts of the United States, you have peace and conflict studies at different levels of education, definitely quite a good number of them at the university levels. And many of those programs we have been able to support either directly through our training or through our curriculum in this particular area. We have also been very helpful in terms of our partnerships in different parts of the continent, both east and western parts of Africa, in looking at alternative dispute resolution, or ADR, as part of legal justice sector reform, so that we acknowledge the fact that the legal system, the courts in particular, serve a critical role in advancing democracy, the rule of law, protecting human rights or advancing human rights and so on and so forth. In other words, the courts remain traditionally, formally, in our formal legal system, the center of arbiter, as the center or arbiter of justice. However, one of the things that we find out in many instances is that the litigation process that is mostly Western-driven in many instances leaves out the true source of the conflict. So we deal mostly with the symptoms and not the underlying cause or issues. And so we've been...
This program is brought to you by ICERM Radio, a project of the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation, New York.
Visit www.icermmediation.org to make a donation or join our membership.
This program is brought to you by ICERM Radio, a project of the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation, New York.
Visit www.icermmediation.org to make a donation or join our membership.
Welcome back to our listeners and our esteemed guest, Professor Ernest Wazier, who is the director of the Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution in California at the California State University in Sacramento. And he is also a professor of criminal justice. Professor Ernest Wazier, we want to welcome you back, and I want to apologize for the technical glitches that we experienced just a second or a few minutes ago. And we hope that this is not going to happen again. We welcome you back.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. I understand.
Welcome.
I apologize to the listeners as well.
All right. So welcome you back, and welcome our listeners, those who are listening to the show here, who have called in, those who are on our website, those who are listening through other channels. You were honestly saying very important things. You raised so many topics as you were talking about the center for African peace and conflict resolution, especially your work,
sure,
the trainings that you've been doing. We're going to be coming back to the conference, which is going to be the 25th Annual Africa and Diaspora Conference. And the theme for those who are interested is peace and conflict resolution in Africa and the diaspora, the 25 years later. And we're going to be exploring the lessons best practices and opportunities. This will be taking place on April the 21st until April the 23rd, 2016. It's going to be at the California State University in Sacramento here in the United States of America. Professor Ernesto Wazir, we're going to be having a conversation on the most important topics about this very conference and the work you're doing. But before we move to that very level, many peace activists, many people who are into conflict resolution are really in this field for one reason or the other. Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, we had a show two weeks ago, with the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi, Arun Gandhi, who was one of the great leaders, who is one of the great leaders of nonviolent activism movement. We want to really ask you, why did you decide to go into the nonviolence peace conflict resolution movement? You were a professor in criminal justice. Why taking this very route? Why do you want to promote peace around the world?
Because it's better than war. It serves humanity. It's cheaper than fighting wars. And I think that should be the essence of our humanity, is peace and nonviolence. I mean, that's really the short of it. There is a lot of violence around us. We have to make a difference. Definitely those of us from Africa can tell stories or war stories of different kinds at different levels or different forms. And I don't want to suggest Africa is the only place. I mean, look at the world we live in today. We have to make a difference. And I think it's cheaper and more effective and more redeeming to work for and think about peace and nonviolence.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor Wazi, for that. I'm thinking of, Basil reminded me of the conversation we had with Arun Gandhi, and he calls himself the peace farmer. And I just thought that was something that, listening to you discuss how it's just, you know, it should be part of our humanity, that peace, you know, peace and not war. So I just thought I'd share. Can you tell me a little bit then about how this impacts your training? You were talking about training with young people, not only at the university level, but also at the secondary school level. And does this impact that training, that discussion, your view that peace, you know, peace and not war should be at the center of our humanity? How does that influence those trainings?
A whole lot. I mean, you come into it knowing that is what it is. So definitely we make sure that we're clear and transparent and purposeful about that. In terms of the overall impact, it is no accident that if you look at where Africa was as a globe, as a continent, you know, 80s, early 90s, and where we are today is quite a stark difference. I don't want to suggest that there are no problems. We still have some issues to work through. But we have made a lot of progress in terms of lowering or reducing the number of conflicts overall in the continent. And when I say we, I'm not suggesting no Justice Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution, but in terms of the global attention, policy-wise, legislation-wise, institution-wise, training-wise, attitudinal-wise, in this area, I think it has contributed a lot toward the reduction of conflicts, including wars, in Africa. And to the extent we measure also peace in terms of number of stable democracies or promising democracies, in the 1980s, 1990s, you can probably count in one hand how many of Africa's countries you would judge to be democratic. At this particular point in time, you can probably count with all hands and even all toes, so to say, more than a dozen, 20 or so countries in Africa that would agree to the definition of judgment and democracy. The economic development is increased by measure. So Africa is rising. I think somebody has made that point. earlier, there are some issues we already have. And that's why we should continue the things we know work, whether it's the schools or the universities or other public like or on the political level, should continue. And the emphasis on peace and development is always with the So again, while progress happens.
This program is brought to you by ICERM Radio, a project of the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation, New York.
Visit www.icermmediation.org to make a donation or join our membership. This program is brought to you by ICERM Radio, a project of the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation, New York. Visit www.icermmediation.org to make a donation or join our membership.
Welcome back, our listeners and our esteemed guest for today's important radio program on peace and conflict resolution in Africa. We have been discussing with Professor Ernesto Wazir, who is the Professor of Criminal Justice at the California State University in Sacramento and the Director of the Africa Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution. And just a couple of days from now, the center will be organizing the 25th anniversary of the Africa and Diaspora Conference. It's going to be an important event that will bring more than 60 academic people in the academia and policymakers to Sacramento to come and discuss these important issues. And Professor Ernesto Wazir, we just want to thank you for the wonderful, inspirational, insightful conversation that we've been having with you. But again, before we conclude, I want you to take a moment and tell our listeners, share with us the lessons, the best practices, what you think are the opportunities for peace, security and sustainable development in Africa. You have been organizing this event for the past 25 years. What do you think are the lessons that you have learned? How could we leverage on what you have done to save some African continents? Burundi is on fire right now, and Nigeria, in the northern part of Nigeria, is actually on fire. We had the Biafra secessionist movement that is honestly continuing becoming a problem in Nigeria, and the northern herdsmen as well in northern part of Nigeria are causing some problems in the midst of the Boko Haram menace. So how do we leverage on what you have done in California, in many countries, to save Africa, to inspire a change in that part of the world?
Yes, I think it requires us to continue the engagement. It never ceases. There will be obstacles, downsides as we move along, but overall, the long-term goals should remain peace-focused. I know human beings sometimes may have a bad habit. When things are going well, we tend to forget how we got there, and that's one of the concerns that I have about some of the issues in terms of political leaders in Africa that seem to be forgetting how they got into office in the first instance. So I think we should the effort should be sustained, and it also indicates to us that yes, a lot has been done in a positive way, but we still have a lot more to do moving forward. And the young Africans, I think, as the future of the continent, I think, should receive probably more attention. Over 60% of the continent are under age 30. That is a population that, if not properly managed, can spiral into serious conflict in future. So I believe one of the things that we are hoping for the next 25 years is how can we tap into the great talent that we have in terms of the youth population to be able to build this peace architecture or solidify this peace architecture that we're talking about.
That's great. I was going to ask you, Dr. Uwazi, with the changes that are taking place in Africa and with this great milestone, 25 years, how will the goals of the center change, or how will the strategic view of the center change? And I'm curious, I know you mentioned the goal is to tap into the talents of the youth. Is that sort of your primary goal for the future, or do you have a few others that you'd like to share?
Definitely.
Or can you speak about that a little more? Apologies.
Yeah. I think, the issue, one of the things that is becoming quite apparent is that leadership, especially for the African continent, for a population that really knew more about conflict than peace, that's kind of growing up now and assuming potentially becoming leaders in the future, we need to be able to do some serious work in terms of the peace talk. A viable alternative to violence or conflict is important. And that has to be done really at all levels. As I mentioned before, peace education is one framework that we are looking at, and we're going to be investing a lot more of our energy and talent and treasure in that area. And when I say peace education, at the different levels from secondary, elementary to university levels, not just in terms of behavioral change, but attitudinal shift in thinking about nonviolence, about peace and development along that line. The related issue is one of social justice. And I know a lot has been said in terms of income or wealth gap countries of the world. We cannot lose sight of that in terms of social justice issues in Africa.
Thank you so much, Professor Uwazi. We know you have been very busy lately as a result of this important event that is going to be taking place in a couple of days. You are expecting many scholars from many countries and universities around the world coming to California for this important conference. We wouldn't want to keep you so long here. And I know you are also mobilizing the Africans in the diaspora around the California area, inspiring them for a change in Africa. And that's a great and wonderful work that you have been doing. One of the things that we do on ISM Radio is to really promote peace, especially those who are agents of change around the world, bringing their work to the light so that people around the world will understand that even though evil persists, there are good people out there who are doing great work and inspiring change around the world. Before you go, Professor Ernest Uwazi, we have one caller here who's been disturbing. I want to ask you a question. We got many callers here but we're going to be taking only one question from one person.
Okay,
please,
sure.
If you're listening and you want to ask the question, we're not taking your calls today. Please do not be angry. Next time, we're going to take your question, but we're just going to take only one question from Mr. Kelechi Mbemnozie, who is right here in New York. Kelechi, please go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you. Dr. Ernest, thank you very much for coming into this program, and it has been I've been listening to your perspectives. It has been really very, very informative. And also thank you, Aisha, for this wonderful opportunity. My question is this: when we talk about conflict resolution, it seems that many a time we tend to forget the causes of conflict at the first place before thinking around how to resolve it. It could be as a result of any issue, like you rightly stated, social justice, inequality, poverty, whatever it is. But my question is this: from the African traditional system, we have a way of resolving conflict which has really worked over the years from the African traditional systems. When we match that with the Westphalian Western system of conflict resolution, it seems not to be in tandem with the way conflicts are being resolved in the old African traditional systems. My question is, do you think if countries around the world can embrace a more traditional system of resolving their conflicts, do you think we're going to see more results, or relying on what is available now from the Western perspective on how to resolve these conflicts, which to the best of my knowledge has not really yielded any tangible, positive, outstanding results?
I would say yes and no, Kelechi. Thank you for calling. And definitely I share your views, and sometimes frustrations that tend to come up. Yes, in the sense that consistently, and that's one of the things that we do in terms of our training, is adopt an Africa-centered indigenous justice or conflict resolution approach. What are the things that exist within their culture that the people understand that seem to work for them? And when I say work for them, in both an effective manner that says once that is done, it is satisfactory to the parties in terms of their interests. Also realize the fact that change oftentimes occurs, whether in leaps and bounds or however gradual or rapid that might be. And that's to say that no culture is static. Every culture does change. Whether or not we recognize that change when it happens is a different thing. And that change can be the result of either internal or external, or sometimes both factors, both internal and external factors. The question is, at some point, what does that society recognize as workable, as effective, as fair, as satisfactory means of resolving conflict? I agree with you, and that's one of the reasons I talked about the ADR work we have been doing as part of legal reform, is to suggest or to inculcate or conscientize the legal professionals that when somebody comes to the court, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are coming to fight. How can you introduce mediation or conciliation? The things that seem feasible, recognizable to them in the African village setting, and still using the power or the influence of the court to be able to get them to that state of justice that they are seeking from the court in that regard. And not always think of the adversarial litigious process that we have in the Western legal system that we have pretty much in many parts of the continent. And that's where I talk again in terms of the training. You know, how do we train the professionals, whether lawyers, political leaders, and so on and so forth, to be very sensitive to these issues so that they can gain the knowledge and the skills to be able to make a positive difference wherever they are, whether in their families or in their communities or villages or in the states or regions or countries or in the world for that matter.
Thank you, Mr. Kelechi and Dr. Wazi. That was a very very good question, and really brought it home to with a lot of the things that you've been discussing. And we really appreciate your time. We apologize. This today is a short day, but packed with a lot of really interesting points, and we will keep an eye on on the center to see what else comes of it, and particularly with the alternative peace resolution, goals. We thank you for your time. Yes.
Can I make one plug-in for you there? Usually we conclude the conference with the Peace Award ceremony, where we recognize individuals that have done some work, our strong peace heroes, we call them. And that would be on the 23rd, which is the last day of the conference, concluding the conference, really. And we are, be recognizing two gentlemen from Nigeria, the pastor and imam, who have been doing some incredible work to keep making Nigeria using interfaith dialogue. And some local Sacramento leaders as well, at grassroots level, doing some incredible work. And the keynote speaker will be the former president of Nigeria, Goodluck Jonathan, who we want to recognize and commend him for peaceful transfer of power in the last year's presidential election in Nigeria. The first time in the country's 55-year history that had a peaceful transfer of power from the ruling party to the opposition party. And we hope that will set the tone not just for Nigeria, but for the rest of the continent, that this is truly what we would expect. And we hope people will come out and show the support and listen to him and engage him as well. So I want to say that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's really wonderful. And stay tuned for more on the Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution. Their 25th anniversary conference is on April 23rd, Professor Wazi just was discussing. So there's a lot of wonderful things coming out of the center. And we thank you for your time today, and listeners, and to the caller, Mr. Kelechi. A lot of great things happening. And to Professor Wazi's point, we need to keep peace at the forefront, right, and keep encouraging those that are doing a great job. So thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Wazi, for your good work. And keep it up. And we think, yes. And we hope to have you again on a time when we have a little bit more time to discuss.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Basil, back to you.
Yes, I want to thank Professor Ernest Wazier for this important work he's been doing around the world, especially in Africa. He's been inspiring a whole lot of people, inspiring change in that part of the world, and recommending you, our listeners, to pay attention to the Center for African Peace and Conflict Resolution. You go to the website of the California State University in Sacramento and look for the 25th annual Africa and Diaspora Conference, bringing Africa to Sacramento, California, for the 25 years. And the theme, again, is peace and conflict resolution in Africa and diaspora, 25 years later. Lessons, best practices, and opportunities. It's going to be taking place on April the 21st until April the 23rd, 2016. And as Professor Ernest Wazier just said, the past president of Nigeria, President Goodluck Jonathan, will be recognized for the great work he did as a president, transitioning to another president, which sets, honestly, the goal of the tone for new president-elects to really continue so we can experience peace and security. And once again, our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us today for this very radio show. In addition to listening to the podcast, which is archived on our website, www.isomediation.org, you can also get involved in our organization, the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation. There are many ways to which you can get involved in our organization. You can join the movement by signing up for our membership, by registering for our upcoming events. They are all on our website, the annual International Conference on Ethnic and Religious Conflict Resolution and Peacebuilding, which will be taking place here in New York on November the 2nd, 2016. And we want to see you again next Saturday for another episode of the ISM Radio. As always, I am Basil Okoji.
And I'm Christina Pastrana. Bye for now, and peace and blessings to you.
Peace and blessings to you, all of you, our listeners. See you again next time for another edition of the iSERM Radio program.
Thanks for listening to iSERM Radio, a global peace network dedicated to promoting inter-ethnic and inter-religious cooperation.
For complete information about the shows, including previous podcasts, visit the iSERM Radio website, www.iSERMmediation.org.
Stay connected. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And let your friends and colleagues know about us. Join us next time for another edition of iSERM Radio.
Peace to our world.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
There's always a reason to celebrate. Weddings, quinceañeras, or just because I love you. Now, for a limited time, switch to AT&T and buy two Samsung Galaxy S7s for one great price. Visit your nearest AT&T store today. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Limited time offers. Each line requires eligible port-in, trade-in, purchase, and service. Get minimum of $10 trade-in credit plus prepaid card in amount of device balance or early termination fee less trade-in. Fees, charges, and restrictions apply. See store for details.